Welcome to Counter Apologetics.
Welcome to Counter Apologetics. I'm your host, Emerson Green, and today we'll be countering the fine-tuning argument. Often I hear from non-believers that the fine-tuning argument is the best argument that the religious have to offer. So, in the spirit of attacking theism at its best, here are four reasons why I don't accept the fine-tuning or teleological argument presented by apologists. How should we define life? If you rigidly and arbitrarily define life as strictly human life, then we indeed have a fine-tuning problem. However, if you define life more broadly, in terms of consciousness, information processing, etc., there is no reason to think that we have a fine-tuning problem at all. Let's say those finely tuned parameters of nature were different. Why couldn't some other form of conscious being emerge from that different universe? I've never heard anything approaching a rebuttal to this point from apologists. As Sean Carroll explains it,
it is certainly true that if you change the parameters of nature, our local conditions that we observe around us would change by a lot. I grant that quickly. I do not grant that therefore life could not exist. I will start granting that once someone tells me the conditions under which life can exist. What is the definition of life, for example? If it's just information processing, thinking, or something like that, there's a huge panoply of possibilities. Sadly, we just don't know whether life could exist if the conditions of our universe were very different, because we only see the universe that we see.
All this to say that if the current values of our universe were different, then maybe we wouldn't be here, but that doesn't mean that some other form of life couldn't emerge from this very strange-looking universe. After all, when we consider the fundamental laws of our universe, it's not at all obvious that humans would eventually emerge. There is simply nothing about the equations that describe our universe that immediately suggests that humans will emerge, so we have no right to look at a different set of equations and dismiss the possibility of another kind of life in that hypothetical universe. Immaterial souls do not fit neatly into this picture of God fine-tuning the universe. If you're a theist, you are probably not a materialist, almost by definition. You probably believe that human beings possess an animating soul, which is what we really are. If you're a naturalist like me, on the other hand, you believe that consciousness is purely information processing performed by the physical arrangement of atoms in the brain. There is no extra immaterial stuff pushing around chemicals in the brain. This being clarified, why on earth does God need to fine-tune anything physical for life to exist? I thought life was non-physical. If I have an immaterial soul, it should be able to exist regardless of the properties of the physical, material world.
The only framework in which you can honestly say that the physical parameters of the universe must take on certain values in order for life to exist is naturalism.
According to naturalism, life, however you define it, consciousness, information processing, is the product of particular arrangements of molecules. According to theism, life is non-physical. So why do the physical, material parameters of nature need to hold certain values for our non-physical, immaterial souls to exist? As Christopher Hitchens was fond of pointing out, even if I accept the fine-tuning argument from start to finish, it doesn't get you to Christianity, and certainly not your favorite version of Christianity. It doesn't even get you to theism, let alone one particular version of it. Even if you find yourself convinced by the apologist's dubious probability calculations, you cannot logically proceed past deism. And this point is not hypothetical, because anyone can use the fine-tuning argument to support any god. Even ISIS uses the fine-tuning argument. I read an article in the Islamic State's own publication, formerly known as Dabiq, where they trot out, point for point, the teleological reasoning that I'm used to hearing from Christian apologists.
You may wish to be a deist, as my heroes Thomas Jefferson and Thomas Paine were, but even if you can get yourself to that position, all your work is still ahead of you. To go from being a deist to a theist, in other words, from someone who says, God cares about you, knows who you are, minds what you do, answers your prayers, cares which bits of your penis or clitoris you saw away or have sawn away for you, minds who you go to bed with and in what way, minds what holy days you observe, minds what you eat, minds what positions you use for pleasure, all your work is still ahead of you, and lots of luck.
And lastly, it's worth pointing out that our finely tuned universe is almost entirely hostile to life. I'm not convinced this is the best God could do to let us know he's out there fine-tuning stuff for us. He gave us a fragile planet with extremely limited resources, teeming with organisms trying to kill us, including organisms invisible to us, with vast swaths of the land uninhabitable to humans much of the time. Actually, the majority of the planet is not ideal for humans, and even where it is hospitable, we're still plagued by earthquakes and disease and other forms of natural evil. We have to build shelters from our finely tuned environment, and this is to say nothing of our finely tuned bodies where our appendices burst and our teeth can kill us. We reach sexual maturity before reaching cognitive maturity, we eat and breathe with the same hole, and our eyes, spines, and joints go bad more often than not. I'm not sure why I can think of improvements for our environment and bodies that an omniscient and omnipotent God apparently failed to imagine. There are two reasons I left out, the multiverse and observer selection. I excluded the multiverse because there's no consensus among physicists that the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics is the correct interpretation. There's actually no consensus among physicists that any interpretation of quantum mechanics is the correct one at the moment, and I'm not a physicist, so I didn't deal with it. But if the multiverse turns out to be real, then it is an answer to the fine-tuning argument in full. The observer selection effect points out that you as a conscious creature will only find yourself in an environment where consciousness is able to emerge. So even if the chances of consciousness arising in the universe are infinitesimal, a conscious creature such as yourself will only be able to look around and find yourself where it is possible for consciousness to emerge. While this is entirely valid, people don't find it that convincing or satisfying. It's a perfectly good reason, it's just that people don't find it to be psychologically very satisfying of an answer. I based most of this episode on the work of physicist Sean Carroll, author of one of my favorite books of all time, The Big Picture, on the origins of life, meaning, and the universe itself. I absolutely love his work, and his books and debates on YouTube are linked in the show notes, including his legendary debate where he destroyed the standard Christian apologetics based on pseudophysics, including the fine-tuning argument. Those are all the counter-apologetics I have for you today. You can support this show on a per-episode basis at patreon.com/counter, where you can earn early access to every episode in addition to many other benefits. If you don't have the money to support on Patreon, but you still want to burn in hell for eternity, you can like us on Facebook or leave a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you found this podcast. Feel free to reach out with questions, comments, or topic suggestions using the contact info you can find in the show notes. If you think I've made an error or excluded an important argument for or against the apologetics discussed in this episode, you can voice your opinion publicly on our Facebook page or on emersongreenblog.wordpress.com in the corresponding blog post. Our theme music was written and performed by the band Wailers. The song is called Magic Tricks and was used with permission. Thank you for joining me today. I've been Emerson Green, and I'll see you next time we meet to counter apologetics.